Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, September the 13th, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey along with Richard Hurley. We have a special guest this evening, Jeremy Senamaki from an organization called Veterans Florida. So please stay tuned. Before getting to news, our interview and then news, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard.
Hey, David. Hello, everybody, and welcome, Jeremy. I want to remind our listeners that this is a call-in show. So you can call in at any time during the show. That number is 1-888-627-6008. If you have any veterans issues that you want to discuss with David and I, or you want to comment on Jeremy's presentation tonight, feel free. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. You know, I always tell this to people, it's important that we all communicate, share our ideas, because you know, together we can help veterans and help them whatever issues they may have. So at this time, let's take it back to David and introduce Jeremy.
Thanks, Rick. Our guest is Jeremy Senamaki, who is the Veterans Employment and Training Services Director at Veterans Florida, where he leads the statewide Veterans Florida Career, Entrepreneurship, Agriculture, and Skill Bridge programs. Jeremy retired from the United States Air Force after serving worldwide at a variety of assignments as an avionics craftsman, Air Force recruiter, and resource manager. Following his military career, Jeremy was a civil servant for NASA as a management and program analyst at the Kennedy Space Center. After his federal service, he opened several businesses in Florida, and he also serves on the executive committee with the Emerald Coast chapter of the Association of the United States Army. So let's welcome Jeremy Senamaki to the Veterans News Hour. Hello, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, David and Rick.
Well, thanks for being with us. Let me start, Jeremy, by asking you just to explain for our listeners what Veterans Florida is, what the organization is, and what's its purpose and its mission.
Great question. So Veterans Florida is a state-created nonprofit. We were created in 2014 by the Florida legislature with the main purpose of attracting and retaining veterans and service members to the state of Florida. So we do that with a number of programs. As you might expect, one of the primary concerns of any transitioning service member or veteran is how they're going to make a living. And so today I want to talk to you about some of these programs, but just to kind of summarize what we do, we have some career services programs where we help with different things regarding getting employment. We have some job training programs such as our agriculture program and SkillBridge programs. And then we also have an entrepreneurship program which helps veterans open businesses. So I'm looking forward to talking about those things today, and we cover the entire state of Florida. So our headquarters is in Tallahassee, where I'm at, but we work throughout the state with a variety of veterans, service members, their families, as well as employers that want to help veterans.
Very good, Jeremy, for that overview. Let me continue by ask you to tell us about how you got involved with Veterans Florida, as well as your own business experience.
Oh, great question. So I was working for NASA back in 2012, and I've always wanted to open up my own business. And as a civil servant, as you might imagine, it takes quite a bit of time and dedication to those positions that you're in. I was in a fairly high-level position, GS-13, so I didn't have much spare time. But my wife at the time, she had become aware of a bed and breakfast opportunity, and so we pursued that, and And that was a great opportunity, a wonderful business. We were highly successful. But, you know, being in Florida in the hurricanes, we got hit 2 years in a row with hurricanes. And so we were forced to shut that business down just because we didn't have the revenue to keep it going. And so I ended up coming up to Tallahassee to work for the state at the Department of Economic Opportunity as an economist. And when I had opened my bed and breakfast, I was looking for some assistance with entrepreneurship and just kind of some guidance on, you know, learn how to market and run a business and, you know, all those types of things. And while I was doing that, I got turned on to a program that Veterans Florida had called the Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program. And so I had attended that program the first year they did it, and that was in Tampa, was the location I went to. And, you know, the program really helped me tremendously. And then through the years after finishing that program, I kept in touch with Veterans Florida just to kind of let other veterans know that the program existed, other entrepreneurs succeed in their business endeavors. But also to give that those or the information back to the legislature so that they could keep these types of programs going. Well, when Veterans Florida found out that I was at Department of Economic Opportunity, they got word to me that they were looking for an entrepreneurship director at the time, and then asked me if I was interested in applying. And of course, you know, I loved what Veterans Florida was doing, what they stood for, and applied for the position and moved over there a short time later after starting at the Department of Economic Opportunity. And since then, I've been here and moved into the Veterans Employment and Training Services Director, which is still entrepreneurship program is under that title, but I do a lot more now with career services and some other programs that we've started since I've been here.
Wow, great. Now, Jeremy, I know, like myself, you served in the Air Force and you served in a variety of assignments and career fields. And before my next question to ask you, to share your insights about making that big transition from military service to civilian life, could you share with us more about your military service? I always like hearing stories from other veterans about what they did in the service.
Oh, certainly. Well, my story is not uncommon. I was my final year in high school. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with the rest of my life at the time. And at the time, I wasn't really that interested in going to college right after high school. And so I joined the Air Force when I was 17 years old, and my father, he was in the Army, so I was an Army brat, and at the time we were stationed over in Germany, and so that was an interesting process getting into the Air Force in Germany at an Army base, but the recruiters made it happen. So I joined the Air Force back in 1992 and became an avionics technician on the F-15 aircraft, and did that for several years, and then I was asked by my supervisor at the time if I was interested in becoming a resource manager while I was stationed over in Okinawa at the 44th Fighter Squadron. And a resource manager is somebody that's attached to a unit and just advises the commander on how to use resources, everything ranging from, you know, dollars, commodities, personnel, all those types of things. And then also make sure that the commander is aware of any laws that might apply to whatever they're trying to do. And so I did that for a few years. And with any old assignment, you have to come back to the States eventually. So when I did, it happened to line up with a time in the Air Force when they were short on military recruiters. So my date to return from overseas was in perfect alignment with that. And at the time, there was, for the first time in history, from what I understand, they were doing mandatory recruiter for anybody who was qualified in that position. And there's certain things lined up. So my commander at the time pulled me in his office and said, hey, they're going to make you a recruiter. So you have two choices. You can either apply and pick your assignment, or you can not apply and they'll pick it for you. So, of course, I applied and chose my assignment. I at least got to go to the state I wanted to go to, my home state of Colorado. And I was a recruiter for an EA recruiter, entry accessions recruiter, so enlisted recruiter for 3 years, and then I became a flight chief there before I retired.
Wow! You mentioned F-15. You worked in avionics. I served. I was a judge advocate, but I served at a couple bases that had different F-15 models, Luke Air Force Base, and then later Seymour Johnson Air Force Base that had, at that time, the F-15E model had just come online just in time for the first Gulf War. And I know Rick Hurley, his son-in-law, Rick, you can chime in here. Rick's son-in-law is a F-15E pilot, right, Rick?
Yeah, he was stationed at Seymour Johnson for...
Okay.
Quite a while, and then just recently he went off to England, my daughter, and he and the four kids are now in England, I guess north of London, about an hour.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, how did you like the avionics?
The base that you liked there, David.
I'm sorry, say again?
The base that you liked very much.
When I was in England, I was stationed at a very tiny, unique base called RAF Chicksands, which was a communications base. It was unique for an Air Force base because it had no planes and no runway. It was essentially an eavesdropping post. The Cold War was still on, and they had this huge, what they call elephant cage flare 9 antenna, which basically listened in to, you know, all the Soviet and Eastern Bloc countries. But I think, as I recall, the F-15Es are at Lakenheath, I think, like 15...
Yep.
50 or 60 miles northeast from where I was. I had a chance to go TDY there a few times. But going back to our guest here, Jeremy, how did you like the avionics and the recruiting and the RM field? I've always been told that the recruiting field is one of the highest pressure jobs in the military.
Right. It definitely is true. I enjoyed all my assignments. I did really well at all of them. Of course, the avionics job was hard work. It's interesting you said about Luke and Seymour Johnson. I was actually, my first assignment was Luke Air Force Base, and we transitioned the F-15E models over to Seymour Johnson when they moved them from Luke. But I went to Mountain Home Air Force Base instead, which I believe they transferred some E models there as well. But I worked on C models at Loop.
I see.
But back to, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I just wanted to have you share your experience. I always find it interesting to know what other veterans did in the service and how they enjoyed their work, and then to sort of, you know, then discuss the big issue that many veterans face, as you know, which is that transition from the military world and their military job to civilian. And I know your responsibilities with Veterans Florida now is one of promoting jobs, connecting veterans with jobs, helping them start business and all those sort of things. So, you know, share with us your thoughts on all those things.
Right. Well, I agree. The transition can be a very difficult thing for service members, and in my case, I medically retired with very, very little warning from recruiting, and in a matter of about 2 months, I went from, you know, normal career security to a civilian, and I had a very difficult transition with that, and so it's always been something I've been passionate about. I was, you know, blessed to get on with NASA about a year after I retired But in that meantime, not knowing where that next check's coming from, I mean, I had a little bit of money coming in retirement, but it wasn't nearly enough to get by on. And at the time when I retired, we were also having a housing crisis back in 2007. I retired in 2006, but and at the time my wife was in real estate and she did mortgage loans, and so it was for me at the time it seemed like the worst case scenario, and so you know I just started applying for civilian jobs and because that's what I knew how to do. And was lucky enough to get on with NASA as a program analyst, and that was a great job, a great career. I worked with amazing people and got to do some really incredible things. But it's always stood out in the back of my mind. And even when I was at NASA, I would get probably 20 to 30 LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever platform. At the time, I think it was like MySpace, but I would get these messages about people asking me that I knew or served with or that knew somebody that I served with, asking me how to get on with the federal government. And anybody who's gone through that process would tell you that we don't even know how we got on the federal government. The process is kind of, it is very in the dark and in a challenging, long process. And I'm sure there's a little bit of luck involved. But so even back then, you know, I was a proponent of making sure that veterans' preference was honored in the federal government and pushing those types of things internally. You know, if I would have had to pick a dream job at the time, it would have been helping veterans find work and being in recruiting. You know, that was kind of up my alley. I had just been away from it for a while. So I was really happy to get on with Veterans Florida and be able to do what I'm really passionate about, which is helping veterans.
Well, good. Jeremy, tell us more about each of the programs that you had briefly summarized a few minutes ago, whether it's the Career Services Program or the Entrepreneurship Program or any of the other programs you'd like to share with us. Tell us more about those.
Oh, I'd love to. So our career services, well, all our programs focus around assisting veterans with their livelihoods and that kind of thing. So we have a career services program. Our career services program does several things. We assist with resume preparation. We help with interview preparation, as well as we do mock interviews with service members and veterans. We do career matching. So that our career services program is really twofold. So with our career matching program, we work with veterans to get positions that we know about or that we have that the employers give us, but the big challenge is making sure we have those positions to match up with. So we spend a lot of time working with employers throughout the state to educate them on the value that veterans bring to the workplace, some skills they may not know that veterans have, you know, help dispel myths and things like that. And then really just advocate for giving us a chance to put a veteran in the positions that they need. And it's really beneficial to the employer, too, because they need skilled workers that a lot of times the military has already released or, you know, the military is a highly, highly trained force. It's not just, you know, a high school graduate. Most military members have some significant employment skills beyond just leadership and attention to detail. And right. So there are a lot of companies that we work with have requirements like security clearances and certain hours of experience or on-the-job training to even get a license such as an airframe and power plant or an IT security or project management license. So we can really help the employers, too, at the same time while helping the veterans. We even have a program to help employers offset some of the costs if a veteran needs a certain certificate or on-the-job training. We can help employers offset some of those costs of upskilling a veteran that they hire. So we really work hard to make sure that there's some positions available. And the majority of our positions are in some key industries, aerospace, IT, professional services, financial sector, manufacturing, things like that. So for the most part, our jobs are really well-paying and a career path, not just a job for a couple of years for a paycheck. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me a question, but so I'll just continue then. So that kind of sums up our career services program, and then we also have a more recent program that we started. We're funded by the USDA on, which is our Veterans Florida Agriculture Program. With that, we have partnered with the University of Florida, and we can take a veteran who's interested in learning about agriculture, possibly opening their own farm or becoming a farm manager or, working on John Deere tractors or something like that, and give them a hands-on immersive experience of what it's like to work in agriculture. So they'll plant seeds or plow fields or harvest or possibly, tend to cattle, whatever it might be. All our research centers focus on a different area and they're in a different location, so they have different challenges that, they help the veterans overcome. And then we place them into positions in agriculture if they're interested, or we can send them to the next program I'm going to talk about, our entrepreneurship program, if they want to open their own farm. And then... we have the Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program, which is the program I went through, and that was my first exposure to Veterans Florida. And that program focuses on veteran entrepreneurs who want to start their own business or grow their business. So some people may have an idea, or they may have been able to purchase a business. Maybe they're interested in franchising, whatever it might be. We can help you get started through our entrepreneurship program. That is, it varies by location, but our partners put on education and training, connect veterans to networks who really help you get your business going, find out the entrepreneurs in your local area that can assist you with things like finding financing or insurance or whatever it might be. And then we have a startup program for that. We also have a growth program, which will help you grow your business once you're going. And then we have a network of mentors and just other resources we can connect you with. And then just this June, Veterans Florida was established as the state point of contact for the Department of Defense SkillBridge program. And that program, if you don't know what that is, for your listeners, it's a program where service members, when they're in their last 6 months of active duty service, with commander's approval, can spend that last period of their service with a civilian employer, and they get to keep their pay and benefits while they do it. So it's a great program. This program, the DOD SkillBridge program, is really an opportunity for the service member who's transitioning to learn about processes, maybe get some training if they need a license or a certification. It gives them a chance to do that. Really get to know who to talk to and, where to go for what within a company. But the big thing is they get a chance to basically interview for up to 6 months. And so far, with our experience, the majority of service members that are in that program really love it, because not only do they, you know, send a resume and saying what they know, but then they get to go show everybody what they know. And for the most part, that's just way above anything anybody's expecting. And most of them get hired at the end of that training. But it's a win-win for the employer, too, because the employer gets somebody that they can teach their processes the way they do things, get them 100% ready to work, try them out, make sure they fit with the skills and the culture and, you know, all those things. And then they don't have to pay them until they're 100% ready to work, or, you know, at the full performance level. So it's really just a win all around. It's probably the best government program I've seen for service members in my whole life. I mean, this is just an incredible program. Everybody from the Department of Defense to all the different commanders and bases are really trying hard to make it happen when they can. And we're just creating some amazing opportunities for service members so that maybe they don't have to have that rough transition that we were talking about earlier.
Jeremy, I had never even heard of that SkillBridge program. It was something, obviously, that must have been started well after I left the service. How easy is it for those still in the service to join that program or be selected to participate or benefit from it?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great question. So for the SkillBridge program, we at Veterans Florida have been working really hard to make sure we have opportunities for everybody. So, you know, when people are transitioning, you might have the E3 or E4 that just did, you know, 3 or 4 years, all the way up to somebody who's spent 30 years in the military and is, you know, retiring at the top ranks with, you know, years and years of experience. So we have positions and opportunities everywhere in between. In terms of the easiness of getting a position, it doesn't change the fact that you still have to be qualified for a position. But we have opportunities at the entry level. We have opportunities at the mid-level. And most of our employers are really responsive to a service member going in at the wrong level and trying to match them up where they're best fit. For example, if we have an opportunity with welding, and if somebody maybe has experience with welding, they can get into the entry-level welding program for somebody that has no experience and just wants to learn how to be a welder. But once they get there, if they find out they actually have experience, they'll hire them at a higher rate. So they might be a supervisor or, you know, an operations manager or something like that, or an inspector. And that's the case with a lot of positions that we have. We have a law enforcement position where if you have no experience in law enforcement, they'll teach you how to be a communications officer within their dispatch system while you're still in the service. And then as soon as you're done, they'll line you up, if you want, with a police academy position. And then once you're done with that, you can be a sworn officer with the Florida Highway Patrol. But a lot of people may already have significant law enforcement experience. And what it allows them to do, you know, the Florida Highway Patrol, is to see where does that person really fit in. So maybe they're not just an entry-level sworn officer. Maybe they should be brought on as a sergeant or a lieutenant. So the short answer is we have opportunities for everybody. But it's a lot more complicated than that. So our veteran service coordinators work really hard to talk to the service members or anybody that comes for our services and try to match them up with stuff with that fits within their interests and that they're qualified for.
Wow. Those are all very impressive, Jeremy. And I've had the occasion over the last few years, part of my work with the Veterans News Hour, but just separate from that too, is to see what and to study what other states are doing, you know, at the state level as opposed to the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs level. And we've had several, over the course of the last 4 years on the show, we've had several state secretaries, North Carolina, Arizona, Alabama, or a few, and some other employees. But it seems to me that Florida is really head and shoulders above what I found other states are doing. And in addition to the fact that, that the organization that you're with, Veterans Florida, was created by the state legislature as a nonprofit specifically to promote, you know, the job and economic issues. Is that consistent with your impressions of, you know, how Florida compares to other states?
Absolutely. Our legislature here in Florida is determined to become the number one veteran-friendly state in the nation. We welcome veterans, we love veterans, and we want to have as many opportunities as we can find for veterans so that they'll move here and make this place their home. Veterans make great neighbors, you know, they make great coworkers, great teachers, great friends. So we are trying to bring as many veterans as we can to the state of Florida.
I know Rick Hurley has a few questions. Just one more question before I turn things over to Rick. Jeremy, you know, for the last year and a half, the country and the state of Florida have been affected by this COVID-19 pandemic. How has this pandemic affected your operations, and how do things look kind of going forward here?
The COVID has really been a challenge, I think, for everybody. But for as far as Veterans Florida is concerned, our operations, we're lucky to have a very dedicated staff and dedicated leadership, and we were able to fairly quickly transition to a completely virtual work-from-home environment. And we asked our partners and employers to do the same thing, and they all responded positively within literally a few days. Now, from our career services standpoint, obviously some employers halted hiring, and then others had to try to respond from increased demands. For example, you know, some manufacturing plants needed to make more items that were short of in the country. You know, we had a lot of transportation workers, demand for transportation workers and things like that. So we had to respond to that. That seemed to level off fairly quickly, and then we saw a little bit of a spike in veterans needing our services, in career services. But the big spike was actually in our entrepreneurship program. We had quite a few veterans that were doing pretty well before COVID, and when COVID hit, they just had to figure out how to pivot, how to make what their business their previous business model was fit into what the future business model would be successful in doing. So that was a challenge, but our partners, you know, they really worked hard to try and answer that call for the demand in services. And just throughout the state, I was extremely proud of our partners for answering that call, helping a significant number of veterans, entrepreneurs especially, redo their business models, find solutions. You know, sometimes when you look at it, a problem long enough, you just can't see the solution, even though it's staring right at you. But you get a new set of eyes on it, or somebody says, why don't you do this? And all of a sudden, it just clicks. And so we've had a lot of those entrepreneurs now that are in a much better position than they were before COVID. throughout the state. It's not the case entirely, but I would say the majority of veterans, they're just incredible. I think veterans, as a group, they're used to challenges and they're used to trying to figure out how to make it with what you have, and they don't quit and they don't accept failure. So, it was really eye opening to see how these dedicated CEOs that were trying to make payroll and keep things open just did everything they could to overcome this pandemic, and they're still doing it. So makes me really proud to be a veteran, and see them doing that, and being able to provide them the resources to try and figure out a way to keep going.
Well, I applaud your work, Jeremy. What you were saying kind of reminds me, when I was in the service, we often had this expression, that a problem or a crisis was simply an opportunity to excel. That's what we would call it, an opportunity to excel. It's sort of like, get it done. We got a mission to do, a job to do, got to figure out a way how to get it done. Now, let me turn things over to Rick Hurley. I know he has some questions, and then I've got a few more to follow up with. Rick.
Hey there, Jeremy. Really enjoying your presentation and the work you're doing at Veterans Florida. Hey, if a veteran wants to use the programs of Veteran Florida, what's the first step he or she needs to do, and then what happens after that?
Oh, great question. For any of our services, if you go to veteransflorida.org, again, that's veteransflorida.org, when you go there, depending on what you're looking for, there's some information about our career services, our entrepreneurship, our agriculture, our SkillBridge program, and then there's going to be a register button on whichever page you land on. When you click that register button, you put in your information. That goes into our case management system, and another veteran case manager will contact you within a few days to assist you with whatever resources you're looking for. And that's the best way to get a hold of us, just because then you go in the system and we can make sure that we're following up regularly and that your case goes to the right people. In addition to the other programs we have, we also do resource referrals. So if you're a veteran just looking for information on, where to find, some help with, college or getting into college or maybe finding a home loan or something like that, we have some resources on our website that our veteran services coordinators can also call you and try to point you in the right direction with the resources that we know about that we have vetted already through our organization.
So, Jeremy, we've got veterans of all ages these days, from early 20s all the way up to their 70s and 80s. And what's kind of the age range that you're finding of the veterans that are active in your organization?
Well, we have veterans of all ages that come to us for services. So, obviously, the majority of veterans are those that are transitioning out of the service or within their first couple of years of transitioning. Those are the ones that are generally looking for employment more. And need some of the transition assistance services, such as the resume prep and interview prep. Because a lot of times, like in my case, I had never interviewed for a civilian job as an adult. I did, in a high school job, but, I'd never had to do a resume or go to an interview for a job. So that was all new to me. And when I was transitioning, if I would have had services like this, it probably would have made a big impact. But on that same note, I mean, we have entrepreneurs that we've had some in their 80s and 90s that, you know, had a great idea and were able to open a business that they've been dreaming about opening their whole entire lives. So, you know, we serve veterans of all ages. Also, for our career services, all discharge types. So, you know, I know there's some veterans out there that maybe have something other than an honorable discharge, and there's some organizations that won't serve them. Veterans Florida will, so that shouldn't be a deterrent for trying to use our services either.
That's awesome. So it's fair to say that if a veteran, like you described yourself, who has very, very few skills, such as, you know, interviewing and writing a resume, and just doesn't have, just never developed those either in high school or through the family, and he lacks those types of skills, your organization can really help him out or her and put him in the right direction, it sounds like.
Certainly, and I just add, it's a real person that you're going to get on the phone with you, and that person's going to be a veteran. So they know where you're coming from. They may not have the same experiences, but they understand the challenges that you're facing. You know, they know what it's like to be a veteran. They know what it's like to make that sacrifice and, you know, deploy for a year, 6 months at a time, and, you know, go wherever they tell you to go, and, you know, they understand all those things. So,
and I would assume that your organization would help a veteran who's suffering from a number of different disabilities, whether they're physical disabilities that could impair their certain abilities to be mobile, or post-traumatic stress issues, anxiety and depression, that your organization can kind of help those veterans who do want to work, because I think most veterans do want to work if they can, try to find something, you know, within your organization or some sort of employment that could kind of be catered to their certain disabilities.
Absolutely. A lot of our positions, in fact, the hiring managers we work with, you know, they're trying to make sure that those disabled veterans are able to be served. Now, some of those issues that you mentioned, they're not our specialty. We're not equipped to, say, treat PTSD or things like that. Our focus is primarily on the economic side of getting a job or, you know, creating your own livelihood. But with that said, we absolutely every day are referring veterans to resources that we know about, that in organizations that we partner with and work with, and get to build relationships with, to that we can send them to the right place, hopefully, and get them the assistance they need. So, you know, I would urge any veteran that's in Florida that is looking for any of these services, you know, they can contact us, and we'll do our best to point them in the right direction if it's something that is not in our wheelhouse. We definitely don't want veterans to go without the services they need. So we do our best to try and match them up and refer them to the resources that are out there. There's really quite a few, and a lot of veterans just don't know where to start. So we're honored to be able to do that for our veterans.
Well, that's great. And thanks again for all that you do, and keep up the great work on behalf of our veterans. David, back to you.
Thanks. And Jeremy, one thing I just wanted to, this might help our listeners understand really the role of Veterans Florida. And correct me if I'm not characterizing this properly, but like many states, Florida does have its own Department of Veterans Affairs, which provides many services for veterans. But what's unique in Florida is that there's your organization, which is separate from that, correct? I mean, the veteransflorida.org is a separate website from the Florida Department of Veteran Affairs, separate leadership, really a separate, distinctly different purpose, correct?
Absolutely. So you are right. We work very closely with the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, also known as FDVA. We are two totally separate companies. We have our own board of directors that's appointed by the legislature, who are all connected to the military in some form or fashion. And our board of directors are very passionate about helping veterans and making sure they get the services they need as well. So they really push our leadership to make sure that we're meeting that goal and that mission. But we are two separate entities. Florida Department of Veterans Affairs handles a lot of the other veteran issues, such as what you mentioned with the PTSD, the nursing homes, the other services for getting VA benefits and things like that. And we work really closely with them. We can refer things back and forth. We are the pretty much the employment and training arm for Florida's veterans. So that's our focus. But that doesn't mean we won't assist somebody that comes to us for something else. We work very closely with a number of organizations, including FDVA or Florida Department of Veterans Affairs, to make sure that we can refer veterans that need services to the right place.
And I think that's impressive and makes Florida stand out among other states, and that they not only have their own state Department of Veteran Affairs that represents veterans with the federal VA and all the other, run the state nursing homes, et cetera, for veterans, but that there's a specific focus to help veterans get jobs, and I think that's very impressive. Now, Jeremy, the other thing I wanted to ask you again, your organization also helps employers in the state of Florida. You mentioned several specific industries, aerospace, IT, professional services, manufacturing, agriculture, among others in the state of Florida, where organizations and businesses, I assume you would welcome them to contact you if they have job openings, right? Anything you want to add to that or share with us?
Absolutely. So the employers throughout the state of Florida really are how we're able to do the career placements and matching. It's how we're able to provide these skill bridge opportunities. And it's how we're able to, in some cases, we even get some funding from some of these employers. So they are really critical to our mission. And any employer that's out there in Florida that's interested in hiring veterans getting some assistance in offsetting some of the costs for maybe a certain type of upskilling, for veterans, I encourage them to contact us. It's the same website, veteransflorida.org. We have a tab on there for employers, and we do our best to reach out to the ones that we know of and we can create those relationships with. But I know there's a lot more employers out there that want to hire veterans and have workforce needs as well that aren't currently being met, so we might be able to assist with that. If they contact us, we will talk with them and see if we're a good fit, and all our services are free to the employers, so it's a win-win for them too. And we do our best to just create more opportunities for veterans.
Well, that's awesome, and Jeremy, I appreciate all the insights of all your programs. Now, we've just got a few minutes left, and before we wrap things up, is there anything that maybe I've neglected to ask you about that you'd like to mention for our listeners?
Well, I can add to, there's a lot of great benefits to living in Florida. Some you mentioned on the career type side of things, and that sort of thing. But, our business climate is outstanding. We have sun most of the year. We have no tax on income, on income, no state tax on income. There's a lot of benefits for veterans, depending on your unique situation. And I just say Florida is a great place to live and a great place to make your home. So I would encourage any veteran that or service member that's interested in possibly coming to Florida to check out our website and see all that Florida has to offer.
Well, that's great, Jeremy. And your website, again, is veteransflorida.org. I'd like to thank you so much for all that you and everyone in your organization are doing for veterans and for employers in this state. And thank you so much for being on our show. We hope you'll be a guest again in the future. Sometime when you have the time, maybe you can keep us updated on what's going on with Veterans Florida.
Certainly, anytime. And I appreciate you having me. It's been great.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks,
Take care. Jeremy. Thanks again. Well, thanks again to Jeremy Sinemacki of Veterans Florida, the website veteransflorida.org, for sharing his insight about all the great programs that his organization has for veterans, for those that are just leaving active duty, and he mentioned many of them. But again, their website, veteransflorida.org. Now, Rick, we're just about out of time here, so maybe you'd like to add before you get to the closing.
No, I just think it's great. He was a great guest, and he's doing some great work here in Florida. And definitely veterans, any veteran who listened to the show tonight, please, and if that's something that you need, reach out to Jeremy. And if family members, if you know veterans who may need some help in that regard, pass Jeremy's information along or call Jeremy. But, you know, use these services. There are so many services, not just in Florida, but around the country for veterans. And you don't just have to go to the VA and some other government entities. There's so many wonderful, wonderful organizations that are out there for you veterans. So take advantage of it because, you know, like people like Jeremy and other people that we've had on this show, they're out there to try to help you. There's veterans trying to help veterans, and you've got civilians trying to help veterans. And everybody, there's a great, great affection for veterans and the goal to try to help them adjust to returning home, which we know can be very difficult. And that's kind of a great segue into the Coaching in the Care program. This program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching in the Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call at 1-888-823-7458. It's hours of Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. I'd also like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. That number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. You know, David, I heard a statistic the other day which was really alarming. I don't know how surprising, but really alarming. And it said that more veterans have from Afghanistan have committed suicide than those veterans, those soldiers who died in Afghanistan, which is
pretty
alarming. I think the number of veterans who died in Afghanistan is over 2,500. So, you know, you can see the number of suicides that they're attributing to the Afghanistan war and how horrific that must be. Over to you, David.
Well, thanks, Rick, and thanks for telling us about the Coaching and the Care program. It is important. I'd like to thank our guest tonight, again, Jeremy Sinemacki from Veterans Florida, the website veteransflorida.org. Great organization. Reach out to them if you're looking for assistance getting a job. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour. Our guest next week will be John Rauter from the American Legion National Headquarters. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Corey and Hurley Law Group, and I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. Hope you'll tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.